illegal immigrant came into America in March of 2022. He was given a federal work permit by the Biden-Harris administration, and Gavin Newsom gave him a CDL license. On this day, he was driving intoxicated. When the traffic in front of him slowed down, he didn't slow down, and he plowed right through 8 cars, immediately killing 3 individuals and seriously injuring 4.
And unfortunately, this is something that should have never happened. The Trump administration and DOT asked for all these driver's licenses from California's non-domicile CDLs to be canceled. And of course, this wasn't.
American highways are becoming bureaucratic killing fields. Is the government liable? This isn't policy. It is a failed get-rich scheme that has already cost too many lives. And at this point, how can it be anything other than premeditated manslaughter on a mass scale?
Texas Rangers say 27-year-old semi driver Alexis Osmani Gonzalez Capione fell asleep while driving. WFAA is working to learn his employer. His charges: 5 counts of manslaughter and 1 count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Arrested at the scene.
Police say a semi driver, Bronco Stankovic here, swerved into oncoming traffic, hitting a Subaru head on. The 54-year-old driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Investigators say Stankovic did not have a valid commercial driver's license and was using a suspended license belonging to a family member.
Since the 2016 English rule gutting, large truck fatalities have spiked dramatically, up 28%. In crash rates by some measures. Thanks, Obama.
Everyone's seen that big, huge thing in Florida that's making national news where that trucker made an illegal U-turn, doesn't speak the language, got a CDL here in California, and now 3 people are dead as a result of that illegal maneuver. It's the end of August 2025 right now, and so far I've probably personally been on at least 100 rollovers this year alone, and there's always one common factor, 90% of all these jobs that I do personally, and it's drivers who speak little, if any, English at all.
Is there anybody else in the truck?
My company.
Your company, okay. You don't understand English. Pants. Put your pants on.
Pants on? What?
Put your pants on. Pants. Put some pants on.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You don't understand English. What company do you work for?
California.
Hey. Don't you put your hands on me, mother. Hey. You speak English? He don't speak English. He's illegal. You ain't supposed to be driving them trucks like that. That's why this shit happened like this.
Last week, Vivek Sharma went to the DMV to renew his trucking license, but he was denied. The problem? New rules surrounding the process.
जिनके पास green card है या citizen है, उनका चलेगा license.
As he explains in Hindi, only green card holders and U.S. citizens can get their commercial driver's license renewed. Sharma's been in the U.S. legally for the past 10 years, seeking political asylum. His final court case is next year. He's been driving a truck for the past 8 years, but now he can't. When asked what comes next, he says he's worried. Trucking paid well. The sudden stop in income means he won't have money to send back to his family in India.
October the 1st has been my 29th year out here. I have been dealing with truck drivers, trucks, containers, whatever you want to say in the shipping industry. And I have watched truck drivers' pay go from good to shit, because they flooded it with a bunch of illegal immigrants that would work for low wages.
Many of these illegal aliens had significant criminal histories: drug dealing, assault and battery, drunk driving, child abuse, rape, domestic violence, fraud, and prostitution. The problem is we don't know what they're carrying across state lines in an 18-wheeler. Terrorists will stop at nothing to harm the United States, and it's well within the realm of possibility that some of these trucks and some of these semi-trucks that are traversing our nation's highway could be carrying toxic chemicals, bombs, or God knows what.
I mean, you're talking about an army here of 800,000 people. Even if they just used a quarter of that for coordinated attacks on the same day or the same 24 hours, can you imagine?
You know, people win wars because of logistics. The faster that you can get the supplies to the front line, the better that you can keep your troops fed. It all matters. And so even without them doing a direct assault on us, if they were able to just cripple our supply chain by shutting down, going on strike.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Mel Kay. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Good morning, folks. It is Monday morning, a crazy week ahead. Thank you for joining me. I am Mel Kay, sitting in for Brianna Morello, and I am excited to be here. You can usually find me at themelkayshow.com on Rumble, X, and elsewhere. And I am excited this morning because lots is going on. It is going to be a wild week, folks. And let's get started. So first and foremost, this weekend, Donald Trump has pushed hit the button and said to use the nuclear option, end the filibuster, and extend the CR to reopen the government. Of course, it looks like the Democrat Socialists of America that run the Democratic Party would like to hold off until their big Refuse Fascism rally on November 5th. In the meantime, Donald Trump has had enough. He is saying, remember, Republicans, regardless of the Schumer shutdown, the Democrats will terminate the filibuster the first chance they get, as usual. As usual, the Republicans never want to step up, never want to, you know, ruffle anyone's feathers, while the left will do whatever they want. So right now, Donald Trump has had it. He is saying that the big, beautiful bill was passed. This is a attempt to filibuster that big, beautiful bill. It's already done to push it through the CR and end the filibuster to get things rolling again. We will see what plays out today. In the meantime, Donald Trump has stepped up for the massive, horrific killings of Christians, particularly in Nigeria, saying that he would take military action if this does not stop. Of course, there is a war on God and Christianity all over the world, including in the United States of America. And Donald Trump has been the first person to say anything about it. And in response, the Nigerian government put out a statement and said that they welcome U.S. assistance as long as it recognizes their territorial integrity. So basically, the United States right now is coming in for the first time to stop the killing of Christians. It has been out of control, and the Nigerian government is welcoming help, and Trump is, I guess, looking into that at this time. But there has been the killing of innocent Christians in Nigeria and all over Africa, going unnoticed by most of the world. And the Department of War has put out that they are ready for action. Either the Nigerian government protects Christians, or we will kill the Islamic terrorists who are committing these horrible crimes. Amnesty International even has come in and said that Boko Haram terrorist groups and similar organizations have launched attacks and kidnappings targeting innocent civilians all over northeastern Nigeria. This has been going on since 2009. Insurgent groups such as Boko Haram, Islamic State, West Africa often present their campaigns as anti-Christian, but in practice, their violence is indiscriminate and devastates entire communities. It has been going on too long, and Donald Trump has said that he will step in if necessary. In the meantime, if you didn't catch it, the bravest person right now in the administration, as far as I'm concerned, is Tulsi Gabbard. I believe that she is dismantling a decades-long international operation for regime change, overthrow, things the American people would never have supported. had we known the true intentions of many of the operations that have happened, not just during the war on terror, but during the Cold War, it appears to me that the American people now have been looted, lied to, and manipulated into war after war for decades, only to profit the very few. And they are still pushing towards World War III over there in the EU and the international banking cartel, because that's how it works. World War I, World War II, what happened after those wars, it was the reconstruction and all of the different benefits that came into consolidating world power after World War I, the attempt of the League of Nations. After World War II, we got the International Immunities Act and the BIS and all of their banks, the, of course, birth of the United Nations and all of their tentacles, the birth of the Rockefeller model of NGOs running the world in between governments and the international banking cartel, global public-private partnership. And a lot of it has been about regime change in order to make people fall in line for, with the neocon project for a new American century, full spectrum dominance that has completely failed at this point. And Tulsi Gabbard has had enough as the head of national intelligence. The DNI, for the first time since the Unconstitutional Patriot Act, is doing the job that they were supposed to do, which is overseeing all of the silos of the 17 intelligence agencies. And Tulsi Gabbard says that the former strategy of regime change and nation building has ended under President Donald Trump. She says, for decades, our foreign policy has been trapped in a counterproductive and endless cycle of regime change or nation building. It was a one-size-fits-all approach of toppling regimes, trying to impose our system of governance on others, intervening in conflicts that were barely understood, and walk away with more enemies than allies. Ain't it the truth? Great to hear it. Again, this ties to, of course, the money laundering operation known as USAID that has worked hand-in-hand with a rogue State Department, CIA, National Endowment for Democracy. Of course, George Soros, Open Society is anywhere that regime change is happening, certainly since the Clinton years, but straight through to this day. She has had enough. She says, the results, trillions spent, countless lives lost, in many cases, the creation of greater security threats, of course. So she says this is done. The end of the so-called nation builders wrecked far more nations than they built. And the interventionists, of course, were intervening in complex societies that they did not even understand themselves. Peace, prosperity, and progress ultimately came not from radical rejection of your heritage, but from embracing your national traditions. You have achieved a modern miracle, the Arabian way, said Donald Trump to the Middle East as it evolves. Tulsi's remarks in Bahrain further cemented what is shaping up to be the hallmark of Trump's second term foreign policy, a break from interventionism of prior administrations in favor of economic cooperation, regional partnership, and selective use of force. Thank God, because at this point, the United States of America has enough problems on our own soil, and it's time to start paying attention to who and what in America is running the controlled demolition of this country, at the same time spreading the entire West full of Cloward Piven strategy, unfettered immigration and criminality and inverted legal system. So this is very welcome by everyone around the world, in fact, and certainly the United States of America. In the meantime, bombshell report came out this weekend as if we didn't know that there was intervention and manipulation and infiltration into America, particularly into our entire infrastructure, let alone our voting infrastructure. Well, the Americans for Public Trust has put out a shocking report of five foreign charities that have funneled $2 billion into American leftist nonprofits, injecting what can only be described by Zero Hedge as a far-left extremist European policy agenda and toxic social engineering campaign into the United States institution over the last decades. The report alleges that these foreign influence operations exploited the dark web of NGOs, also bankrolled part of the protest industrial complex that has waged an ongoing color revolution style operation against President Trump since way back in 2016. As you know, if you watch me, the original documents for the color revolution after Trump Surprisingly, won the 2016 election was written by David Brock and Norm Eisen, known as Democracy Matters document by Media Matters and Crew and other groups. And they laid out exactly how they were going to destroy Donald Trump, MAGA, silence voices, do lawfare, all of that. And now we're finding that it was not just funded by globalist billionaires in our country like Soros and Omidar, but it turns out foreign billionaires have been getting away with it nonstop. Foreign money is coming in and it's trying to erode our democracy. The five charities that they are focusing on for international interference in the United States is the Quadrature Climate Foundation in the UK has injected $530 million into American NGOs and other groups to circumvent our the will of the people. KR Foundation out of Denmark, $36 million. Oak Foundation out of Switzerland, $750 million. Lotus Foundation, also Switzerland, $20 million. And the Children's Investment Fund Foundation from the UK, $553 million. The Quadrature Climate Foundation, founded by billionaires Greg Skinner and Sunil Sethia, have given $530 million to 41 U.S. groups and NGOs, including ClimateWorks, the Climate Fund, Windward Fund, Sunrise Project, the KR Foundation, the Carlsberg family of Danish heritage. They have put $36 million into 53 U.S. groups backing climate litigation, ESG advocacy, fossil fuel divestment, including Conservation Law Foundation and International Environment Law Foundation, and, of course, $300,000 to the Associated Press, also Oil Change International. So if you're wondering where all this is coming from, it's not coming from America. It is coming from overseas billionaires. The Oak Foundation of British billionaire Alan Parker has given $750 million to 152 U.S. groups advancing climate justice, including, again, the Climate Law Institute. Of course, everywhere you find NGOs that are circumventing and subverting the will of the people, you will find Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors, to which they gave $108 million. Also, New Venture Fund under the Arabella Partners and the Tide Center. The Lotus Foundation of the Benickmeyer family of, where it looks like they are also from Switzerland, has sent $20 million to 17 ESG and climate-friendly groups, as well as money to the Pulitzer Center and other community initiatives, World Resource Institute, and also this oddly named Children's Investment Fund Foundation by hedge fund billionaire Sir Christopher Hahn has sent $553 million to 39 entities, including the Energy Foundation China, Institute of Governance and Sustainable Development, Environmental Defense Fund, and again, the Sunrise Project. This has been going on for far too long and was allowed. Also, all of these people have circumvented FARA loopholes, required foreign-funded nonprofits disclosures were skipped, and many other situations taking advantage of the 501c3, 501c4 dark money labyrinth that has been created over decades. You know, the first time they looked into this stuff happened to have been in the 30s when they looked at the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Carnegie Institute for being basically a shadow government, circumventing the will of the people through these charities and what I call the Rockefeller model. In America alone, we know that Arabella has given $79 million, Buffett $16 million, Ford Foundation $51 million, Rockefeller $28 million, Soros $72 million, and Tides $45 million to what Seamus Bruner and others call Riot Inc. We are going to get to the bottom of this. Donald Trump and his team are now using the Treasury and also the IRS and other means to dig into this. But the UK, Denmark, and Switzerland have fully infiltrated the United States through these groups and have been pushing this horrible and destructive energy policy and socialism from the EU. Now, of course, George Soros has always been called out in this. He is also coming out as a player in Russiagate, a player in the Hillary Clinton campaign's Christopher Steele, dirty trick, fraud. And then also, he is very instrumental in what is going on in Europe, not to mention in Ukraine. Not too long ago, he did an interview with Chrystia Freeland, another World Economic Forum globalist, about what he does around the world. This is what the model is for these NGOs. I have a clip of Soros talking to Chrystia Freeland. It's 23. I think we should take a look at how he explains it. And remember, civil society. Pay attention to when he talks about civil society, because we'll be talking a little bit upcoming about Norm Eisen and other people that are doing the same thing, same model, same network, same money in America, also claiming to protect democracy or civil society. Take a listen to George Soros and Chrystia Freeland about intervening in foreign countries' business for the good of democracy.
Was that George, civil society in action? You've been working on helping to build civil society, trying to build it, often frustrated in the former Soviet Union, in the Soviet Union. I know you started, I first met you in Ukraine in 1990 when you began those efforts. There were many years, I think, when it seemed it was all useless. Does it say something to you, teach you something about open society, civil society building?
Well, yes, because basically, in many ways, I set up the foundation in Ukraine in 1990, which was 2 years before the independence of Ukraine. That was part, it was an offshoot of the foundation in Russia. You know, I set up a Cultural Initiative Foundation in the Soviet Union in 1987, and then we built this branch in Ukraine in 1990, the foundation, one of the things that the foundation did, gave a lot of scholarships and supported civil society. And the maturity of civil society 25 years later is, to a large extent, the work of the foundation.
Yeah, and I will just offer my own personal testimony here. It's actually amazing in Ukraine, the new Ukrainian government, the new Ukrainian leadership. Everyone who I know in that group has been touched somehow by open society and by Georgia, like literally. Either people personally got a scholarship or someone, you know, their wife got a scholarship. It's a really remarkable thing.
Well, this is, for me, quite an experience to see this. And I didn't realize, actually, how big an effect it has had over a 25-year period, because those were students. 25 years later, they were leaders.
Okay. So, George, the way you describe...
The bottom line is that's the model, and it's been going on for 25 years, and it first infested itself all over Europe after the fall of the USSR, but as George Soros told you, he prepared that 2 years before the fall of the USSR, and they're talking about how much he was invested and infiltrated Ukraine in the 90s. So a lot of what we've been told is not real, but at the same time, these NGOs have a model. This is what they do. And George Soros and all of them call it civil society. They act like civil society and democracy are what they're fighting for. Well, civil society that we need to also weed out in America is basically a network of non-government organizations and groups that stand between the individual and the state, including NGOs, charitable groups, religious institutions, community organizations that people like Open Society and Rockefeller and all of these different groups funnel money into push their causes. And then they go and they get community organizers and all of that. And they consider this to be the crucial part of building a democracy, which are private funded NGOs, civil society with names like Open Society fighting for so-called human rights, democracy, rule of law. It is all about circumventing society. George Soros' concept of open society includes basically civil groups, NGOs, civil society groups that actually have the power and are between the people and the government, controlling the government and manipulating the people on with media and everything else. Basically, he believes civil society provides a forum for people with different opinions and interests to coexist peacefully. Really, what it means is that civil society means that there are no borders, there is no constitution, there is nothing like that. It is all guided by global governance, being the global public-private partnership, of which he mentions for 25 years he has perfected through universities and scholarships and getting into Democrat institutions and giving out money to people and sponsoring people. And frankly, this is nothing to do with the United States of America. It's antithetical to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And as I always say, the best laid plans were in George Washington's farewell address of us not getting involved in foreign countries and not allowing foreign countries to get involved in our politics or our sovereignty. And yet this has been violated over and over. And I believe that Donald Trump and the team now and the people working with him around the world are trying to dismantle this decades-long labyrinth of NGOs that connect to the UN and the United Nations, other tentacles, and have circumvented much of the world in terms of sovereignty. So where we are right now is that Donald Trump and his team are looking into these networks. They are using many different organizations to do that in terms of going through where the money is coming from, where it's going, and how it is flowing through the financial sector, all the way through Wall Street, the City of London. This is a long-term infiltration instead of invasion, as JFK warned us. And certainly it has not stopped since JFK's warning. In fact, it has gotten far worse. And now we see inside the government that many of these people are and have been operatives for this entire network for a very long time. So Donald Trump is going in there. And again, we do want to mention that George Soros' name is coming up in connection to not only the Hillary Clinton dirty trick and everything that happened under Donald Trump with Russiagate, but also now it turns out that George Soros is a big backer of Mamdani. The Daily Mail is saying that George Soros and his right-hand man, Patrick Gespard, have been working with Zora Mamdani and his entire group and campaign for quite some time. Gespard is was talking to Christine Annamapour, talking about how he has been helping. He, again, is the president or was the president of George Soros Open Society from 2017 to 2020. And now is that George Soros funded John Podesta NGO known as the Center for American Progress, where he's been since 2025. He says that he has become a close confidant of Mamdani and basically says that Mamdani is the future and that they have been backing him. Gespard of the goes on to say that he is basically the next Obama and the leader of the party, and doesn't even hide that. So they say that they are 100% behind Zora Mamdani, an experienced Soros operative, according to the Daily Mail, has said that they are fully supportive. Of course, Open Society tax filing indicates that $5.9 billion have been transferred into different accounts over the years to make sure that he gets the people in that George Soros wants running America. And it looks like Mamdani has been primed and funded to get exactly where he is right now with the Democratic Socialists of America. And we'll be right back after this break.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Demos was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS, because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Corruption in America that is getting exposed in a tsunami of truth. This week is going to be really big. But first and foremost, I don't know if everyone has taken the time to read the Biden Auto Pen report. It is a 90-page report, and it is fascinating. Most things that you read in the government are totally boring, but I got to tell you, this is almost unbelievable. It seems like we've been living through Wag the Dog. In fact, I think we have been. So the 90-page report that was put out last week by Comer and his team in the Oversight Committee on the Auto Pen is called The Biden Auto Pen Presidency: Decline, Delusion, and Deception in the White House. It is accusing Biden's inner circle of basically running a operation to deceive the people of the United States of America. You could call it a conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America before a federal election. One of many things that were done, but this is pretty shocking here. So the report that comes out says that there is both constitutional and criminal concerns, and they are directing the administration to investigate and are suggesting that there are criminal referrals that will be coming ahead. It is over, says the Oversight Committee. We have a clip right here of James Comer, number 11, speaking this weekend to Maria Bartiromo about what he has found of the 20 people, basically, that they've outlined that surrounded Biden during the last election cycle before he dropped out, that were basically ready to put a corpse in the White House to continue the shadow government around Joe Biden that was actually running the White House. Let's see what Comer had to say this weekend.
Many were granted pardons by the auto pen on the last day of the Biden presidency with no record that Joe Biden played any role whatsoever in the authorization of those pardons. So I think all those pardons from Dr. Fauci to the Biden family to Adam Schiff, the January 6th committee, the list goes on and on and on. I think every one of those pardons signed with the auto pen with no evidence that Joe Biden was involved in the decision making, I think every one of those can be declared null and void by the Department of Justice. And I think our evidence in the investigation will make that decision hold up in court.
So that is where we're headed. Imagine that. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has asked the DOJ to investigate whether Biden's cognitive mental decline allowed unelected officials to make decisions without his knowledge or approval. They are going through right now every executive order, every pardon and other actions. Not just that. Oddly enough, there were two Hollywood bigwigs, heavyweights that were mentioned in this report to be looked into and investigated further. That being Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. They are in this because apparently not only was Jeffrey Katzenberg running an actual wag the dog, producing Joe Biden's I don't know what to call it, but his not just his doomed debate with Donald Trump, but the entire situation. We all remember when Hollywood had a big $50 million fundraiser for an obviously not fully there Joe Biden, where Barack Obama, George Clooney and Julia Roberts were all on stage together and Biden didn't seem to know where he was. And to a raving Hollywood audience, they walked Biden off stage. Well, that was produced apparently by Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg and others. And just days later, as you recall, I guess Obama's best friend, George Clooney, broke ranks and wrote an op-ed that Biden was not okay. In the meantime, the inner circle of Dunn and Klain and Zeitz and everyone around him were continuing to push. Donilon, the rest of the people that are mentioned were all continuing down the path. And then as it switched to Kamala Harris, the Hollywood two went to run her campaign. So it looks like of all of this stuff, 88.3 of the documents excluding public laws were signed by AutoPen. Joe Biden's team started using the AutoPen on day five. The 30 executive orders he dropped on day one to undo everything Trump was trying to do for our country and the world in the first term appear to all be auto pen as well. Also disturbing is that it appears that Joe Biden was in D.C. when many of these auto pen executive orders, pardons, commutations, proclamations were signed. So there's really no reason for the auto pen to have been used. So basically what they're saying now is that for those on the left who are claiming this is how it always works, that is absolutely untrue, and it has never been used in this scale. Again, clemency was granted to 4,245 people. No one fully believes that Joe Biden knows anything about the clemency questions and certainly did not pick the clemency decisions himself. So 4,165 commutations and 80 pardons in the final days of his presidency, all of which may be considered null and void. That is certainly what Chairman Comer is saying. In the meantime, we have another situation going on with Arctic Frost. Arctic Frost is, of course, the name given to the fraudulent Jack Smith case. As you know, the judge in Florida found that Jack Smith was unconstitutionally appointed to be a special prosecutor. But the fact that the entire investigation was a fraud is just coming to the surface. And it looks like DOJ and FBI whistleblowers are continuing to provide evidence directly to Chuck Grassley and others. So Ron Johnson also said that they are getting more and more people coming in and the whistleblowers need to be protected. So you have to understand that public awareness of political targeting by the DOJ and FBI is coming from whistleblowers that were there, of course, directly to Congress. We have not heard from Pam Bondi or Kash Patel on Arctic Frost at this point, but we have heard a lot about what is going on behind the scenes. And frankly, it looks like the targeting started way back when under Holder and Obama. So do not forget that the IRS started targeting and using the NSA database under Obama and Holder when they went in and restructured the entire DOJ National Security Division, DOJ Civil Rights Division, and the DOJ oversight. It looks like the FBI, for all these years until now, was their own watchdog, which is completely insane, especially since they were targeting people openly from all 59 fusion centers, particularly on steroids after January 6th. So the targeting started way before under Obama. We had Snowden come out and other people. And then we, of course, had the IRS scandal. We then also had the NSA being flagged by Admiral Rogers for being abused and everything after that. So none of this is new, and it is finally having some light shined on it. In the meantime, we do have to also realize that a lot of this is financial. We want to know, were any of these pardons or commutations connected to a financial benefit? We found out last week when I was on with Brianna that Donilon said that he was making $4 million to work on Biden's campaign for 2024. And if Biden won, he would have gotten a bonus of $4 million. That is strange. And how many pay or play people were involved in that? That also were involved in the auto pen. I want to remind you that we are also getting a lot of information about the complicity of the Washington field office in every step of the way. Timothy Tebow and Stephen Michael D'Antonio keep coming back over and over in every investigation having anything to do with Russiagate or everything else that has happened since. But in Arctic Frost, it looks like the opening document was dated April 13th, 2022, and it provided a bunch of statutory violations possible. And we'll talk about where the possible list of those are coming from in a second. But in the opening document written out of the Washington field office, it says that by conspiring, attempting to submit or submitting allegedly fraudulent elector certificates, subjects both known and unknown may have violated one or more of the following federal statutes of the FBI that the FBI has responsibility to enforce. They were saying that the alternate electors, which of course have been used twice in history, including in the Nixon-JFK race. But in the meantime, they lined out multiple things to charge people through Arctic Frost. And this isn't a couple people. These are hundreds of people, including people sitting in office that they were getting the records of, not just bank records and phone records and communication records, but they were supposed to notify them and did not. And officially, it's looking like that was because Boasberg allowed gag orders on AT&T and Verizon and Bank of America and all these on X to not tell the people that they were being spied on. So in the meantime, they were trying to create a case, which sounds exactly like what they did. Attempted conspiracy to corruptly obstruct, influence, or impede the certification of the Electoral College. Meanwhile, the person who did that was Nancy Pelosi, because 3 minutes after the breach of the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi called for an emergency session, meaning that everything that normally would go down on the day of certification got canceled. Nobody could object. There were 12 people that were going to, including Cruz, Howley, Blackburn, all the people that ended up being spied on. And then that would have given standing in the courts. Nancy Pelosi decided that none of that was going to happen, that they were going to push it through because of the Fedsurrection and the person who suspended all normal practices and anything that would have been able to move forward and question the election was Nancy Pelosi. Okay. And then they wanted to charge all these people with obstruction of certain proceedings, falsification of records, conspiracy to defraud the United States, seditious conspiracy, where really that is what all the people that set up the entire operation should be charged with at this point. Again, we want to add that they had mail fraud on the original and then turned it down. But very disturbing now coming out about Arctic Frost and the related grand jury investigation that was open in D.C. to then move to Florida. Basically, that other agencies participated, including the U.S. Postal Inspection Service and the investigative unit of the Office of Inspector General of the National Archives. So this is the bigger seditious conspiracy, the grand conspiracy coming into play. So the subjects of Arctic Frost included Donald Trump for President Inc. and all other PACs connected to MAGA, John Eastman, of course, Rudy Giuliani, Boris Epstein, all of the electors, that 60 people from Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Wisconsin, several 100 people, like I said, including sitting senators. And in the meantime, it looks like the FBI Washington field office back in 2020 assessed that the use of American-made media consultants as a clearinghouse for Donald J. Trump for President Inc. was spending in vulnerable campaign finance, were possibly involved in vulnerable campaign finance crimes, none of which happened. So the FBI field office in New York was also participating in this, too. So they were basically digging in to find crimes. And again, this is something between the Washington field office of the FBI and the D.C. office of the FBI. Chuck Grassley released 1,700 documents going through all of the people that were targeted, including Cyber Ninjas, Sidney Powell, MyPillow, Dan Scavino, Mark Meadows, Alex Jones, Brennan and Clapper and all of them. They all were pushing this through as well. They knew about it. So this is major election interference. And this was before the 2022 election, mind you. So we are looking at a bigger and bigger situation here that is growing over time. They also targeted many people in a fishing expedition that were not involved, not to mention they targeted groups that didn't even exist on January 6th, like America's First Legal. At the same time, I don't know if you saw, and I do believe that it likely is going to connect at the top. Last week, if you don't recall, Bill and Hillary Clinton did not show up for their behind closed doors questioning on the Epstein case. But over the weekend, we're finding out, and I believe that this is all connected back to the Hillary Clinton, a dirty trick, to everything that's gone on, will somehow coexist with the financial crimes behind the Epstein case that are now coming to light. So now we're finding out at the same time that we are looking into this, that J.P. Morgan warned the U.S. of $1 billion in Epstein transactions possibly related to human trafficking over 20 years ago. So now we're looking into who's making money, pay or play, in the White House. But what is going on with all of this suspicious transactions and all of this that was going on for the last 25 years and not looked into at any time, possibly until now? So again, the left is pushing for the exposure of the Epstein files. But I have to tell you right now, Donald Trump is not implicated. It was not covered much last week. But in Acosta's questioning, he said that Donald Trump had nothing to do with the 2008 case, that he never talked to him about it, that he's not implicated, and that this is all, you know, another fraud, another witch hunt. But it appears that J.P. Morgan, for over 20 years, had been flagging Epstein transactions, many of them that were going to politicians and to people, and 4,700 transactions totaling $1 billion. And again, a lot of this, like I said, Chuck Schumer took money from Epstein, many other people that obviously the Clintons, Jeffrey Epstein said that he was the founder of the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Global Initiative, in a sworn testimony in his 2008 trial. So this connects all back to money laundering at the highest level, and people want to know what's going on. As you know, other people have come out. Leon Black has been mentioned of Apollo Group for paying Jeffrey Epstein, looks like $150 million. Glenn Dubin, who came out also in the Diddy case, a hedge fund manager, also Les Wexner, The report says 65 million of wired transfers from mid-2000s that appear to move between multiple bank links to Wexner's trust, but it did not provide details of those transactions. So a lot of this is going, I believe, to come through the Treasury. At the same time, we do want to remind everyone that they are still waiting for information from the Treasury about many of the transactions. I know Senator Wyden and others have been on top of this. But again, J.P. Morgan is looking like they need to be in front of the committee as well. In the meantime, we know that six attorneys who signed Arctic Frost subpoenas have been fired. It is a little late in the game, but it looks like there were 2,000 pages of subpoenas issued by Special Counsel Jack Smith's team for banking data, communications, and other information. There was 197 subpoenas issued to financial institutions, consulting firms, conservative organizations and PACs, individuals, and technology companies. So Smith was essentially running a dragnet, searching for incriminating evidence on any of these people to use in his Donald Trump, witch hunt, abuse of everything that was going on to try to stop Donald Trump from becoming or running for president first, then becoming president. The DOJ investigation also surveilled Ted Cruz's office landline, senators revealed this week. The assistant special counsel who signed the majority of the subpoenas is named Maria Vento. Maria Vento, an attorney at the time, was credited in a DOJ press release in April as an assistant U.S. attorney and was arguing on behalf of the government in May in North Carolina. Her name appears on more than 100 subpoenas out of the Jack Smith case. We have Aaron Polis also, who signed roughly two dozen subpoenas as assistant to the special counsel. We have other people, Brooke Watson, also assistant to Jack Smith, 18 subpoenas signed by her and multiple other people. It looks like these subpoenas, like everything else, were all a witch hunt. They were looking for crimes. They did not have probable cause. They did not have crimes. And I want to mention again, because a lot of people forget this. In 2010, Obama brought in a DOJ employee to initiate the IRS targeting of conservatives. And who was that? That was Jack Smith. Okay, so it looks like the same game that's been being played since the murder of JFK is still being played in the IC and DOJ, which is when somebody is involved in something like Jack Smith was involved in the IRS targeting that got shut down with Lois Lerner. But also, again, Merrick Garland, Oklahoma City, you got Ray and Weissman involved in Enron. You got all these people. And after they do that, they get promoted to the next level. It's like a never-ending cover-up for reasons of national security that has been abused. It seems like when they say reasons of national security, what they're saying is our government committed crimes that we, the people, should know about, and we're not going to find out for reasons of them getting in trouble, not necessarily national security. So I want to say Obama brought in Jack Smith basically to work on that case. He also worked with Soros Open Society and ACLU. The Justice Department convened a meeting with former IRS official Lois Lerner in October of 2010 to discuss how the IRS could assist in the criminal enforcement of campaign finance laws against politically active nonprofits on the right. The meeting was arranged at the direction of Public Integrity Section Chief Jack Smith. According to the Republican National Lawyers Association, Public Integrity Section Chief Jack Smith told investigators that officials at the Justice Department discussed targeting conservative nonprofits groups with Lois Lerner at the IRS starting as early as October 2010. So Russiagate was a continuation of Spygate, which started with the Tea Party under Obama, where he put in Jack Smith. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. In the meantime, Jack Smith was also a Harvard Wasserstein Fellow and the head of the Department of Justice Public Integrity Section, soliciting and accepting a grant funded by a leftist billionaire. He joined a list of leftist activist lawyers working for the ACLU, Earth Justice, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, Soros's Open Society, Catholic Charities, and the UN. Jack Smith has been around quite a while in the background, and now we have to question exactly who else was involved in all of this, okay? Because we got a real problem, because the lawfare guys are still out there, and is my contention that Norm Eisen and Andrew Weissman and the lawfare crew at Brookings and Just Security and the rest of them, that they, in fact, were the ones behind the Jack Smith witch hunt and all four prosecutions that came through Lisa Monaco. If you are not aware, Andrew Weissman and Norm Eisen, I call him the king of lawfare. He's been going after Trump since before Trump was inaugurated in the 2016 election. He filed impeachment claims against Trump before his first inauguration. Since then, Norm Eisen has led every attempt to throw Trump in jail. He was the prosecutor in the fake Ukraine impeachment. He was behind everything that had happened to this day, including all four. So it looks like Weissman and Norm Eisen, through Brookings and Just Security, wrote a novel lawfare case using U.S. Code 793 espionage for Jack Smith to look at before his case was even out there. So this document, you can find it on Brookings probably still, but Norm Eisen and Weissman wrote an entire memo. It's called the Weissman DOJ prosecution memo, and they sent it somewhere. And as soon as Jack Smith put out his charges, it was exactly what Weissman and Eisen had written. The 186-page Weissman Eisen memo can also be found on the conservative Treehouse. And what is people believe now is that they were working in the background to come up with lawfare, retention of national documents, defense information, concealing government records, conversion of government property, additional possible statutory approaches to document mishandling. And that is all under the entire Jack Smith purview for the also illegal, we will find out, I believe, invasion or whatever you want to call what happened at Mar-a-Lago. In the meantime, they have been bragging about this nonstop for years. And Norm Eisen is out there right now running all of the lawfare, basically, of everyone that's been fired, including also being on the team for Letitia James. So I think we have to get a little bit more into the lawfare crew and exactly who they are and why they are still out there on their podcasts and on MSNBC defending themselves, when we know that this entire lawfare and destruction of the normal country, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the election of a duly elected president in 2016 was a grand conspiracy that I believe right now is being talked about in the grand jury in Florida. And we will get into some of the players on the other side.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this. And so we put this together as both the Methylene Blue Super Enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis, and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.